We're on the telephone today with Kurt Blades, who is Senior Vice President of Agriculture Services with the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. And Kurt, a recent article that AEM put out caught my eye, talking about three key trends shaping farm machinery purchases. So talk about this report and what prompted this.
Yeah, well, the report is actually kind of a summary of a study we commissioned about a year ago, started about a year ago, where we were looking at sort of some of the global trends that are happening in the world in general, things like, you know, climate change and service economy. And we boiled that down to 3 to 5, where we really wanted to dive into the ones that were going to have the biggest impact on agriculture. And so what you saw published was sort of our quick report or our summary report of the three ones that we thought were sort of the most interesting and of you know what ag's going to look like in the next three to five to 25 years.
Okay, let's talk about those. The first one on the list here is the changing farm structure and the number of retiring farmers that we'll have who will be selling land over the next few years.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty fascinating when you dive into the numbers of where land is actually owned versus farmed. And, you know, this is a study that was actually published last week by Iowa State that talked about, you know, the typical owner of a farm is significantly older than the person who's farming the land. And, you know, just like myself, who grew up on a farm in Missouri, it's a multi-generational farm, and we've been amassing that land over the last 100 years, and that trend's been happening all throughout farm country for years and years. What is interesting is that as farmers get older, many of them have made nice wills and trusts to keep that family farm in the family land. But the increase of absentee landowners is really starting to reach and will continue to reach more of a critical point. An interesting fact that sort of came out in the research was the minuscule amount of land that is actually transacted every year. And it's tiny. You know, we think about how land transfers. Typically, it's through an inheritance or through a will or maybe purchased or sold to a private party to a family member. But the amount of land that actually ends up on the open market is very, very small. And that's what causes land to sometimes have prices that are somewhat irrational from the economics because there's just a scarcity of it. What we've kind of indicated over the next, you know, in the next 5 years, next 10 years, that's going to continue. But when you have one more generation removed from the farm, I think there's a real possibility that land will transact in a much bigger way. When you've got a person that's three generations removed from the family farm, all of a sudden has got a multi-million dollar asset that's, you know, 500 miles away from them. I think the pressure to keep that in the family is probably going to be a little bit diminished. And I would see that, in the next 25 years, I think we'll see some of that land will actually begin to change hands in a bigger way.
And the implications then for farm equipment dealers and manufacturers is what?
Well, I mean, as you think about how farmers, typically have chosen their brands, they choose their brands based off of their neighbors and based off of their neighbors that are selling the equipment at the local dealership or a tractor brand or a combine brand that's always been in the family for years and years and years, that begins to change just a little bit. That structure when you're treating your business, your family, or treating your farm as a business, you begin to look at your equipment purchases with a little bit more consideration. Brand loyalty absolutely comes into play there, but equally important are things like your ability to get it serviced or the local dealership, the importance of the local dealership, or frankly, it's the innovation that's happening at those machinery level. If they're keeping up with technology and coming up with products and services that help meet those farmers' needs, that's the businesses that will continue to win out in the future.
Okay, you mentioned technology and the accelerating adoption of precision ag technology is also on your list here.
You bet. And I'll tell you what, we have only began to scratch the surface I think, on where precision farming, what the implications of that are. And you look at, with the rapid adoption of auto steer, I mean, that made sense for a farmer. If you don't have to drive your tractor or don't have to spend as much time driving your tractor, and you can have perfectly straight rows and you can reduce the amount of seeds and maybe work a little bit longer because you're not quite so tired because you're having to pay attention to how straight the field is, that had a big impact on farming. I'll tell you what, that's just the beginning. And when you think about introducing things like artificial intelligence and smart sensors that can begin to determine whether there's a pest in the field or not, and what that particular pest is, and identifying the mode of action, you know, real time, that has a pretty dramatic impact on what farms are going to look like in the near future. Another interesting piece on this technology is where the dollars are coming from that are pouring into investing in agriculture and investing in precision agriculture. And it's, there's dollars that are coming from some of the traditional players, you know, John Deere, Case, AGCO, you can go through the list. But what's also interesting is the money that's coming in to invest in ag and food production that's coming from outside of some of the traditional players, folks like Google, folks like Microsoft, folks like IKEA, of all things. That changes the future of ag is going to look like, because they may not have the same priorities that the current incumbents might have in the way food is produced.
Okay, and finally, on your list of trends that are shaping farm machinery purchase going forward is what you call a new sort of trusted advisor. So the role of the farm equipment dealer might change.
Well, I think we've seen this happen and evolve over the years. Certainly been leading on the crop production side when new genetics came about, the role of the certified crop advisor had an increased role. I think what we're seeing, begin to happen now is that genetic technology is incredibly important, but what's becoming increasingly important is the precision technology and having an understanding of how to make that precision technology work to make the most out of your farm. And that requires a little bit of trust that, perhaps even a set of skills that's not very prevalent today. Someone that understands the agronomy, someone that understands the prescription that's being written about the particular farm, someone that understands the technology, and then puts it all together in a way that the farmer can, apply the best technology, whether it's genetic or physical technology, to their field to make the most money. So that's a different animal than is existing today. And I'll tell you what, it provides a lot of opportunity for kids that are in high school today to jump into technology and become that trusted advisor at the farm level. The other thing that's kind of interesting was we late talk about this trusted advisor. I grew up in a small town, and I tend to think of that as, that trusted advisor needs to be, someone that I can see on a daily basis. I think what we're seeing is it's kind of improved in some other areas, some of the consumer areas, is that trusted advisor may not necessarily be right next door, but they may be a state over, a couple states over, or even in a different country where you can have it available 24/7. So that trusted advisor role still is very important, but I think who that trusted advisor role is kind of yet to be seen, and that person's going to have to be pretty good. And that's what's pretty exciting. We think about what the future looks like is that we think our manufacturers are staffing up their dealerships in a way and developing their dealership employees to play a pretty important role on that. But I know that other folks are looking to staff up and to increase their level of employee in some of these rural communities to better serve the farmer of the future.
But if I could, just the one point you made, I think kind of stands out to me. Bottom line is going to probably trump brand loyalty in the future.
Well, I think the best way to say that is blind brand loyalty is getting increasingly difficult to defend. And so the bottom line includes a lot of things, and that includes certainly the economics, but also the total package, whether that's service or whether that's availability of a local dealership or whether that's innovation from a particular brand. I mean, I think it all comes into play. And as we've known this for the last number of years, as farmers get bigger and bigger and they become more and more sophisticated, they do become a little bit more business-minded. And when you become a little bit more business-minded, you make decisions that are not only based on emotion. That certainly comes into it, but it also has got to economically play out. And that says that, hey, if I'm going to continue to bleed a certain color tractor, that certain color better live up to my expectation, and it still has to pencil out. I'm not going to buy it just because that's what my grandfather bought or because my great-grandfather bought. I'm going to do it because that's what makes sense for my business.